Continuing, Canto 1, Chapter 5. And we'll be covering texts 29, 30, and 31. In very explicitly in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, he states that the stages of sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and now prema bhakti are being experienced by the small boy. In the course of 4 months. He specifically goes through the language indicating this is what he's experiencing. So, the primary message here is that the mercy that's come from these sages is the cause of that. He differentiates that there's mercy, there's two kinds of mercy. Mercy that has a cause and mercy that has no cause. Mercy that has a cause comes in this material world commonly, where there's something that's attractive and so one shows mercy, and something that's unattractive or unfavorable and one withdraws mercy. Even he says one hates because it's so bad. But specifically, the sages that were staying at that inn, it was said that they were in this stage of samam, they were indifferent. They were not, they were realized. Like we find so many verses in Bhagavad Gita where one is equal to pebbles, stone, and gold. One is equal to happiness and distress. One can see a pebble, one can see a stone, one can see gold. But one remains neutral because of that being transcendentally situated, it's temporary matter. It has nothing to do with my real identity. It's not the source of happiness. And so one remains indifferent. Minimally by knowledge. But what we're going to hear is that these sages weren't just minimally in knowledge. There are stages of knowing something. So there's jnana. And jnana, knowledge of jnana, has to do with differentiating matter and spirit, knowing what is spirit. Then there's confidential portion of that knowledge where bhakti is mixed with jnana. There's more confidential where it's bhakti, primarily, mixed with jnana. And this, what the bhakti Vedantists were giving, we're going to hear the verse that says it, they gave shuddha bhakti, knowledge, bhakti unmixed with knowledge and jnana, just like Rupa Goswami teaches. Anyabhilashata shunyam jnana karma adhyanavratam. That kind of bhakti that's unmixed with karma and jnana. That's what really bhakti is. And that's what they gave him. But initially, again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, he was a nice boy, but they weren't of the former kind, oh, he's a nice boy, we'll be merciful to him. They were indifferent. They were just merciful to him. And by being merciful to him, he then felt something, and he also manifested further good qualities. And upon those manifesting of further good qualities, they again showed their mercy. But it wasn't because he's really responding. He's showing nice qualities. So we'll show more mercy. It wasn't like that. Just their nature was merciful and his nature was receptive. And so he advanced further and further. This is this is what Vyasadeva wants us to understand, how to advance in Krishna consciousness, or what Narada wants Vyasa to understand, how to advance in Krishna consciousness, to receive the mercy of those who are merciful. One can advance in Krishna consciousness. And those that are most merciful are not dependent upon whether one is responding nicely or not, just because they're merciful. And by God's arrangement, you bump into somebody who's merciful. One of those random events. Without cause. Causeless mercy. Somehow, it applies to all of us, Prabhupada described. Somehow. One may get the association of someone who is merciful. The nature of merciful persons is they're merciful, but they don't contact everybody. Somehow, one may contact a merciful person. That's what Narada is describing about himself and these sages. And then the progression. His receptivity increased, not, oh, he's being receptive, let me give more mercy. But you get the point. Because his receptivity increased, he advanced further, advanced further, advanced further, advanced further. And they continued to give their mercy, and he advanced further and advanced further. Through the stages of his, you know, Nartanirvriti and Nishtha and Ruchi and Asakti, he's come to the, we just heard, he came to the stage of Bhava. He's feeling completely absorbed in whatever they had to say, because what they had to say was about Krishna. Completely absorbed in Krishna, completely in touch, in contact with Krishna. So, needless to say, but he says it, the influences of passion and ignorance were gone. The frivolous nature of childhood, gone. He's now, you know, not just influenced by the embodiment stage. He's influenced on the spiritual platform. The last two verses that we discussed just this morning. O great sage, as soon as I got a taste, that's Ruchi, of the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching, that's Asakti. And as my taste developed, I could realize, he's getting some realizations, I could realize that it was only my ignorance, only in my ignorance, that I'd accepted gross and subtle coverings. Now, the body is a lump of ignorance, right? Sharira avidya jal. The body's a lump of ignorance. But that's not who we are. And he realized who he was on the spiritual platform by these Krishna katha, by these topics of Krishna. And he understood the Lord's transcendental nature, his own transcendental nature. His ignorance was removed by this association. And the next we read, thus during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I had the opportunity to hear those great souled sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. Yashaha Amalam. Unadulterated glories. Yashaha. Fame. It's one of the six opulences of Krishna. All fame. Yashaha. And Yasha Amalam. Unadulterated. There's Malam and Amalam. And unadulterated means not, there's no contact with modes of nature. No contact. There's not, Krishna did something because he needed, he was on, you know, it was an unfulfilled need and so he did something. You know, that's what we do. We have an unfulfilled need and so we do something to fulfill that need or desire or want. But Krishna, it's not like that. He didn't come, he didn't leave, and in between he didn't do things because there was some need. Gee, I'm feeling alone. I want to come and hang out with some people. Or, you know, I want to make them happy, so I'll do something to make them happy. It's causeless. It's otherworld. Causeless is otherworldly. Amalam is otherworldly. Pure is otherworldly. In this world, there isn't something pure. Everything is tainted. It's by its makeup. The modes of nature. But Krishna, that he's saying, he heard these spotless activities of the Lord from these sages who had, they were also spotless. They were constantly engaged in that same activity. They constantly chanted the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. And the whatever remaining traces of material contact, ignorance and passion, gone. That was where we ended. So where do you go from there? What's next? Text 29. There's 6 points that are spoken. Prabhupada in the purport says each of these is important, so we'll pause on each one. I was very much attached to those sages, because through attachment to the sages, one can become attached to the object of affinity of those sages. One can become attached to Krishna by being attached to those who are attached to Krishna. So he has evolved. Before he was attracted. Before that there was a taste. Before that he felt uplifted in their association, but now it's at the stage, it's attached to those sages, very much attached. Then what was his behavior like? It says he was gentle in behavior. This is a repeat of one of the terms that we heard very early. It's a more mature stage of obedience. Parishritasya. Parishritasya is obedient or obediently. He associated with them obediently. He was obedient before in the mature stage. His behavior was very gentle. And hata inashaha, his sins were completely absent. They were destroyed, gone. He wasn't struggling with some attraction or repulsion due to previous material contact. Gone. What a relief, huh? Gone. completely gone. This is on this very elevated stage. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. Shraddha. I had subjugated my senses. Although he was a small boy, it was stated before, but now it's again at a more mature stage, his boyish, frivolous, playful nature was gone. He was very satisfied. His senses were very satisfied. He had subjugated his senses. And the final is that with both body and mind, I was following them. Following doesn't mean imitating. Following means, like, you know, he was attached. And so as their words indicated, his mind went. And something was to be done, his active senses followed. He was subdued and controlled by their sound vibrations. So we don't need to worry about that till later. But that's the stage that he was in. Very, very peaceful, very gentle, subdued, subjugated senses, very easily and naturally but strictly following the indications of these elevated persons. Very sublime position. We can cultivate from our stage by practice, but the main thing is to receive the mercy of the merciful persons who are giving those nice instructions, and then following those instructions becomes possible. In fact, it becomes easy. So Prabhupada says, you know, these are essential qualifications for one who wants to advance. They are the qualifications of one who is advanced. They become possible by the association of pure devotees only. All the impediments through that association can be eradicated. A neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee. And he should be very obedient and strictly follow the instructions. These are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success, even in the existing duration of life. Now, Prabhupada is bringing it way down to the sadhana level. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wants us to look at the bhava and prema bhakti level. But what the bhava and prema bhakti level is, it's practiced down here. Text 30. As they were leaving, those bhaktivedantas who are very kind to the poor-hearted souls, instructed me in that most confidential subject, which is instructed by the personality of Godhead himself. There's a nice long purport here. They were thinking, very soon we're going to leave. And before we leave, we should give the most confidential teachings. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, Radha Krishna Leela or something like that. It meant pure devotion. And so Prabhupada goes through the purport saying, there's confidential knowledge, more confidential, and most confidential knowledge, which is, we have that comparison also in Bhagavad Gita. But confidential knowledge, I'll read what he says. The impersonalist who has no idea of the transcendental form of the Lord cannot understand. Oh, here we go. Gyanam means ordinary knowledge or any branch of knowledge, you know, university. This knowledge develops up to knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Above that is confidential knowledge. So that's knowledge partially mixed with devotion. I mentioned this already. Such knowledge develops up to knowledge of Paramatma or the all-pervading Godhead. This is more confidential. So, bhakti mixed with gyan. And then there's unmixed bhakti, through which the personality of Godhead can be understood. This is the most confidential knowledge. So they felt, before we go, we should give this to him. With confidence that he was a fit recipient, and with confidence that he would follow it. And he did. He was a fit recipient, and he did follow it. Later, just as some examples, Narada, who was very, very expert at giving devotional service to others, he would very carefully examine who his audience was, who the recipient was. Let's take, for example, Narada's interaction with the sons of Daksha, the Haryashvas, and following them, the Shavalashvas, 10,000 and 1,000 sons. He examined them. He quizzed them. He gave them a riddle to solve, and they immediately could understand it. So then he could understand, these are qualified persons. I'll give them very confidential knowledge. But with Daksha, he didn't do that, because he knew he wasn't qualified. He let Daksha rant and rave and vent and curse him. And he still remained, because he went for that purpose, is to give him mercy, but according to capacity. Or the sons of, another example, the sons of King Prajinibari. This is in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. The sons of King Prajinibari, they received the topmost knowledge. But King Prajinibari, he was too attached to fruitive activity, so he gave them this long riddle, a narrative, like a metaphorical story. Some king, who happened to be him, just with a different name, and a whole long story. And finally, the king got it. And so on. There's so many. With Murghari. What did he do with Murghari? Told him, can you please kill the animals all the way, completely? Why? Because they're experiencing pain. Pain? I never thought they would. If they're experiencing pain, then I'm doing something very sinful. Yes, you're doing something very sinful. Uh-oh. What about all that sinful deeds that I've done? What should I do? Break your bow. Very expert. Dhruva Maharaj. Go back home. Just a little boy. He tested him. And after he gave him transcendental knowledge, then he went back to see his father, Uttanapada, knowing that Uttanapada would be greatly grieving. What did he tell his father? He didn't give him transcendental knowledge. He said, don't worry, your son is okay. He'll come back soon. And then you'll get benefit because he'll become very elevated. Just stay at home and be happy. Very expert. Very expert. So, as devotees, we should also try to become expert and understand who it is that we're speaking to. And the sages, although they were equal, equal doesn't mean they were oblivious. They couldn't discriminate one thing from the other thing. They could discriminate one thing from the other thing. And their merciful nature came according to the capacity of the recipient. And as Narada became more qualified, they gave him very confidential, most confidential knowledge. The verse says, the same as Krishna gives. Well, Krishna also gives in Bhagavad Gita the most confidential knowledge, but he didn't start with the most confidential knowledge. He started with, you're not this body. And gradually, perform your activity without attachment, karma yoga. Offer the fruits to the Supreme. Fix your mind upon the Supreme in meditation. He gave him gradual knowledge, up to the most confidential knowledge. Even knowledge mixed with, knowledge mixed with bhakti, and then bhakti mixed with jnana. Then differentiated and said, actually the best is shuddha bhakti. Same thing. Narada did. Or the Bhaktivedantas did with Narada, I should say. The personality of Godhead, both in the Bhagavad Gita and in all other scriptures, has definitely instructed men to follow the Lord only. So here's the parallel. Vyas has written the Vedas that spoke inordinately about fulfilling material desires. And he was unsatisfied. And Narada said, well, if you're not satisfied, what to speak of your readers? They're not going to be satisfied either. So you should write one literature that's just bhakti, shuddha bhakti. Just glorify the personality of Godhead without any indication that by doing so you'll get material happiness. Whether that happens or doesn't happen, that shouldn't be one's motivation or interest. If something comes, then it's used in Krishna's service anyways. So that's what the Bhagavatam is. And he's explaining to Vyas about that kind of literature that he should write based upon his own experience. It's very nice. Very nice. So Krishna explained all of this in Prabhupada's, paraphrasing the purport, to the sun god Vivaswan long ago. And it was practiced by the Surya dynasty, brought by Ikshvaku to this earth planet, and it was followed by that dynasty. But somewhere along the line, that knowledge became broken. Shuddha bhakti was lost, so Krishna established it again. With Arjuna. And Narada is instructing Vyas, you should do this too. Last verse for this evening. By that confidential knowledge, so again he's using the same term, confidential knowledge, I could understand clearly the influence of the energy of Lord Krishna, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything. By knowing that, one can return to him and personally meet him. So, if you ever wonder, why so much repeated explanation about this process of creation that comes in the Bhagavatam? After all, that's just like the material world. We are interested in somehow getting to the spiritual world, kingdom of God. Why all this? It's there so many times. The Virat Rupa and the unfolding of creation and, you know, in detail how it happens. And sometimes we're thinking, gee, where are those other nice verses about Krishna's pastimes? Well, in order to understand Krishna properly, one has to understand his energies properly, because his energies are from him. And if we don't understand his energies properly, we're likely to be under their influence. Illusory potency in particular. But Narada is describing that by the association of these Bhaktivedantas, giving this confidential knowledge, that's pure devotional service, he can understand clearly the influence of the Lord's energy, and thus he could understand also the Lord clearly, and thus the path of devotional service was wide open, and likely also the return to the spiritual world and personally associating with Krishna. So, again, there's another nice long purport, very philosophical, about Krishna and his energies. There is internal, external, and marginal energies, three, and subdivisions under those three. And the living entity, that's us, we're in this marginal position, and we can be influenced this way or that way. So he's describing becoming free from the influence of that way, material energy, and becoming influenced this way by Krishna's potencies. Those in the spiritual energy are placed under the direct service of the Lord in eternal life, complete knowledge, and perpetual bliss. The Lord desires, as he has directly said in the Bhagavad Gita, that all the conditioned souls rotting in the kingdom of the material energy come back to him by giving up all engagements in the material world. This is the most confidential part of knowledge. He's using the same phrase again. The most confidential part of knowledge is Shuddha Bhakti. And Shuddha Bhakti means without karma and gyan. It doesn't mean giving, you know, stop going to school or stop working or stop doing things. It's not impersonalism or Mayavad philosophy, but the expectation or aspiration, at least, to be an enjoyer of those things, speculative knowledge and fruitive activities. That is to be given up. And instead, those same propensities or activities or the bodies and minds that we have are to be used in Krishna's service. And that's the most confidential part of knowledge. It's so confidential we don't get it. We say yes, but we don't get it. But this can be understood only by the pure devotees, and only such devotees enter the kingdom of God to see him personally and serve him personally. The concrete example is Narada himself, who attained this stage of eternal knowledge and bliss. And the ways and means are open to all, provided one agrees to follow the footsteps of Narada Muni. Okay, let's follow the footsteps of Narada Muni and associate in the proper way. Well, what's the proper way? He's explained it. We just have to follow. And this particular verse is describing that then we can understand clearly the energies of the Lord and how they're working. The material energy, the spiritual energy, and the marginal energy. And all of them in concert can be directed to the service of the Lord. Even this material energy can be directed to the service of the Lord. If we follow the example of Narada and hear from these qualified personalities, receive that mercy that they want to give. It's such a rare thing. Think about it. How many was the population on the Earth planet today? How many billion people? 7.5 or something like that? Whatever the number is, some big number. How many devotees are there? How fortunate we are. And we can certainly be complacent about our good fortune, but we could also be very excited about our good fortune. And be, you know, follow Narada. Example. And, you know, the prize is incredible. See Krishna and be with Krishna face to face. What to speak of, you know, finished with all sinful reactions and the modes of nature and birth and death and, like, you know, too good to be true. Winning the lottery or something. But it's not gambling. It's a science. It's eligible for anybody. Multiple anybodies. There's many anybodies. There's not only one lottery winner. There's unlimited living entities can take this opportunity. And Krishna wants it. So it's authorized. It's blessed. And the Bhagavatam is explicitly and deliberately providing that path. So these chapters are laying it out. Here's what Narada wants Vyasa to do, and then the rest is what he does. What and how and why, it's all here. And the concluding verse tomorrow morning kind of puts a cap on the whole section that we're reading from. Very nice verse. Okay, so any comments or questions? Yes. Sure, sure. We connect them to Krishna, and how you make that Krishna connection is, you know, it's you follow the instructions. And it's not, the essence is not following the instructions. The essence is not in the behavior. The essence is in the following or in the submission. I'll give a little example of this. There are some devotees that are, making an experiment. They're going around the yoga circuit and chanting in the yoga circuit. And in America today, it's very popular. People pay to have somebody who has a lousy voice come and sing in their yoga class. And some really popular guys, they just, you know, their voices are flat and not even, you know, musically attractive. But, you know, it's a popular thing. It's very fashionable. So some devotees thought, hey, let's catch this wave. And they found, it's a lot of things, but, you know, to find somebody that's actually chanting Hare Krishna because it's for the satisfaction of Krishna. They like chanting, they get some popularity, they make some money, and so on. It's mode of goodness, nice, and, you know, it's fun, they have a good time. They finally met somebody that wants to do this for the pleasure of Krishna. He has some training from the Ballava Sampradaya. I forget which one it is. All the others are musicians. It's another, you know, type of music. And people like music, so people go to hear the music at their yoga class. Because the behavior is not the essence. It's the submission unto Krishna that's the essence for connecting our worldly things with Krishna. It's not just do the do's and avoid the don'ts and then you're okay. It's the submission unto Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. And catching that spirit, awakening that constitutional energy of the soul to serve Krishna. And the medium of expression is whatever it is. Our psychophysical nature can come out, and it's not going to contaminate us. It will become purified. Whatever that nature is, it's our nature temporarily, and so use it in Krishna's service. That's an art. It's bhakti. How is that bhakti awakened? It's what we've been reading. Any question? Vikash, you got something?
You mentioned about receptivity, that the 20 persons that they are giving mercy to everybody. I've seen that in my life. That something is
blocking. I was just reading before coming. I was reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this section. First of all, he describes, I'll just re-emphasize, he gives a verse from the 10th canto where Shukadeva Goswami is describing mountains. He's comparing mountains and sages. He said, some mountains, sometimes they supply profuse water, they fill the rivers and they flow very liberally, and sometimes there's a restriction of that water flow and the rivers are very thin. Similarly, sages sometimes are very merciful and sometimes it's not, you know, it's just they seem to exhibit mercy and sometimes it's not. But it's not because a discriminating thing, oh, let's not flow some water down this mountain this year. Sages similarly, they're not, oh, I don't like that person. But when their mercy flows, it's abundant and it's wonderful. And one who receives that mercy is very fortunate, can become very fortunate. Then he, addressing your question, he says, he quotes another verse where, even the very hard-hearted souls by somehow receiving this mercy, that's not like just being exposed to it, but somehow receiving this mercy, their hearts can soften. And in that softened state, all the influences of the modes of nature are eradicated. It's in that reference to that previous verse's section, where ignorance and passion are gone. There has to be some willingness, or another way of saying the same thing, there has to be a free will choice at some point that says yes to this, which means no to that. It's a free will option. It's not something that's forced upon us. We just passively stand, and the cascading mercy comes down, and we're cleansed. The descending mercy is a necessity. Our free will choice to receive it is also a necessity, because there is free will involved in this program. It's not, you know, we're just condemned in hell, or we're situated in the stage of perfection, and there's no free will involved in all of this. There's free will involved. So to receive mercy is something that we must want, choose, of volition, with free will. And hard-hearted, you know, deep inside, there's the small voice that says yes, and there's the more, you know, obliterating voice that says no. That's going to interfere with my program. So it's no. But deep inside, there's a yes. And so that's like, you know, letting some light into the dark recesses of the heart. It does require a willingness to receive. And a little comes in and it does a lot. One good thing, transcendentally good thing, is even if the heart opens a little bit and then closes later, that's never lost. Any little advancement is never lost. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Permanent. So we make an effort and we can offer prayers. Krishna, please help me. Open my heart, so closed, so hard. The prayer that we recite, Om Ajnana Timirandasya, nice and appropriate for this. The spiritual master forced me to open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. That the knowledge is so brilliant that, you know, even you try to keep your eyes closed, it's still too brilliant to keep your eyes closed. Ooh, it's getting through even my eyelids. Let me squint and keep my eyes closed. Still, it's opening. It's very, very potent and very merciful. And the most powerful melter of all is of hard hearts. Is we actually all want to be loved. We want to love and we want to be loved. So when that mercy is continuously extended, it somehow our weakness and hard-heartedness opens and love comes in and we feel loved. And that's helps us go the next step and the next step. Anything else? You have another one? No? Yes? Obedience. You like that? I like that.
Submission is an
essence. Yes. That's right. There's a material kind of gentleness and there's a spiritual kind of gentleness. And there's a distinction. This material kind of gentleness is a behavior only. And push somebody's button enough, you find the right button and that gentleness stops. But in the case of a Vaishnava, it doesn't. Because it's built upon something spiritual. Unless Krishna so desires. And if Krishna so desires, one can be a lion for Krishna. Because submission is the essence. Is that all right? You still look a little puzzled. You're okay. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.